Please take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament, chapter 31. We're going to be looking at what King Lemuel's mother taught him concerning what to look for in a future wife and mother of his children to carry on the royal line. That's what Proverbs 31 is about. Every time I begin to read Proverbs 31, I read the first verse there, I'm often reminded of a newspaper ad I read one time. Proverbs 31:10 says, "An excellent wife, who can find?" And it was a man looking for a wife to be the mother of their children. And he wrote this in the paper. This is how the ad reads. "Looking for a wife and mother of our children with a boat. Please send picture of boat." That's definitely not the way to find a wife or a mother of your children, right? Today is recognized as Mother's Day. I'm not sure how this day was derived or designated as such, but somewhere around the 1600s in England, a Mothering Sunday was celebrated annually on the fourth Sunday prior to Easter to honor mothers. Well, an official celebration of Mother's Day was suggested in the U.S. in 1872. But it wasn't until 1914, just so you know, that President Woodrow Wilson assigned the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day and officially to be placed on the calendar. And ever since then, we have Mother's Day on the second Sunday of May. Besides the long overdue recognition of mothers in American society, it is fitting to honor the role of the mother that she has in the community, in the home, and especially the church. Proverbs 13:7 says, "Give honor to whom honor is due." And I can't think of anybody more fitting to receive honor as much as mothers do. Think about this. They and they alone are the vessels used by God to bring into the world those whom the Lord would create and then redeem by His grace and for His glory, and then to fill up heaven with these glorified saints for all eternity. God is filling up heaven with glorified saints. And guess who gets the privilege of bringing these people into the world so they can be created and be redeemed and fill up heaven? Women. Mothers do. That's a great, great honor. What a privilege. What an honor to be used by the God in that special, special capacity. Truly like Eve, the mother of all living, the Bible says. To echo the angel Gabriel, "Hail, favored ones, the Lord is with you." It was a woman who became a wife, who became a mother, that had the blessed privilege to bring our Savior Jesus Christ into this world, God incarnate. She was to mother Him until that one day He would not only be her Savior, but the Savior of the whole world. And if anybody in the whole world was ever going to be saved, it was going to be because of her Son. Think about that. The Son of God, the Son of the Most High God. What amazing blessing it is for women to become wives and then become mothers. Jesus said, "There was no greater man born of a woman than John the Baptist." Yet, there would have been no John the Baptist without his mother Elizabeth, the wife of Zacharias, right? When I think of all the great and godly men and women who have ever lived, I'm reminded that they all were just once little infants cradled in the hands of a loving mother. No matter how great, how godly, no matter what you've done, one day you were just a little infant cradled in the arms of your mother. Mothers have been given a noble place of recognition in society, but the Lord has given mothers a place of honor and blessing in His kingdom. Without Eve, there would be no Seth, which the Bible says it was then that men first began to call upon the name of the Lord. Genesis 4:26. The human race after the fall, finally began to pray and recognize the presence of the Lord in human history. Without Sarah, there would be no Isaac, the covenant promised child to the aged Abraham. Without Rebekah, there would have been no Jacob, the father of a nation, Israel, God's chosen people. Without Leah, there would have been no Judah. Judah is the line from the Messiah will be born. Jesus is the line of the tribe of Judah. Without Rachel, there would have been no Joseph, who was used to preserve and prosper his chosen people Israel in Egypt and birth a nation. Without Amram, there would be no Moses, that's Moses' mother, whom God used to deliver Israel's bondage in Egypt, and God gave the moral law that revealed his holy character to this man Moses, to the children of Israel, as he birthed that nation. And what shall I say of the prophet Samuel, the first prophet in Israel, without thinking of Hannah and her great prayer and gratitude for the Lord giving her a son, only to give him back to the Lord to be a temple servant at the age of 12. Not to mention Ruth, who married Boaz, who eventually King David would be born. And as you know, King David was a man after God's own heart, reflected in the songs that are recorded for us in the book of Psalms. From King David and Bathsheba bore Solomon, who wrote, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and an ornament about your neck." God has given godly mothers a role in human history that is uncomprehended by the world. Uncomprehended by the world. It could be hard to imagine the condition the church would be in without the influence of godly mothers. Can you imagine the state of the church without godly mothers? They are a vessel of honor that the Lord is using according to Romans 9:21. Godly mothers are a vessel of honor. How many great preachers are the product of what their godly mothers invested into them? I think of Timothy, who pastored the church of Ephesus. Paul says to him in 2 Timothy, "I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you also." 2 Timothy 1:5. Here, Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice have their names inscribed in Scripture for all eternity for the way that they raised Timothy, how they mothered and nannied him. Without your mother, there would be no you. Right? Without your mother, there'd be no you. And all of what the Lord is doing in your life, there would be no you. It's amazing. Think about that. How much honor your mother deserves. I think you get the point, right? What all these mothers have in common that I've mentioned to you is that they were all godly mothers. They were all godly mothers. I cannot stress to you the importance enough of a godly mother and the honor that they deserve. Some of our Lord's last dying breaths as he hung there dying on the cross were words concerning his mother. "Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son," he said. The greatest honor a godly mother has is to bring a child into the world and then be a vessel of love, leading him or her to salvation in Christ. That's the greatest honor you have. First, to be used by God in the womb to bring a little child into the world, and then love that little child and tell that little child about Christ till the little child gets saved and God fills up heaven with these redeemed people. The portrait of a woman like that, a wife like that, a mother like that, a nanny like that, is described for us by God in Proverbs chapter 31. A virtuous and rare woman in the world. She is virtuous and rare. Let's look at Proverbs 31. Verse 10 says, "An excellent wife who can find." Here, King Lemuel, the author of Proverbs 31, relates to us the wisdom that he received from his mother on how to choose a wife and mother of his children. Here's the instruction his mother gave him about how to choose a wife and mother of his children to carry on the royal line. It says there, "The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him." verses 2 through 9 tells how his mother warned and challenged him to stay away from being a womanizer and the influence of alcohol. She says, "What, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, or your ways to that which destroys kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or their rulers to desire strong drink. Lest they drink and forget what is decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his trouble no more. Open your mouth for the dumb, for the rights of all the unfortunate. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of all of the afflicted and the needy." Here he tells them, stay away from drinking women who all they want to do is party. She says, they're just a dime a dozen. But a virtuous woman, that's a rare jewel. That's what you're looking for, a virtuous woman. She tells them, stay away from drinking. Stay away from carousing. Stay away from partying. Stay away from being a womanizer. Because you're the king and it will affect your judgment. That's not for kings. It's not for kings. But a godly wife. Now here we go. Verse 10. But a godly wife. That's a rare and precious find. Let's read what his mother taught him about the character and behavior of a woman that would be worth more than any earthly jewel he could ever find. It says there in verse 10, an excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. When I read this passage right here, I want you to realize that this is not some pie-in-the-sky woman that nobody can live up to. No, this is King Lemuel's mother describing a real virtuous woman, a real woman who has immeasurable wealth that he should look for. So when I read this, you may be asking yourself, what does this woman look like? What does this woman look like? Well, let's look at her. Verse 11, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. A lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hands to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates." A real woman. When I read this, you may ask yourself, like I ask myself when I read this, what does this woman look like? What does she look like? I mean, I read all this, but what does she look like? Well, let's look at this text, and let's pull out our paintbrushes and see if we can paint a portrait of this godly mother on a canvas. So you're going to pull out your paintbrush, you're going to have a canvas in front of you, and we're going to begin to paint the portrait of this godly mother. If I were to start painting, beginning with Proverbs verse 31:10, I would begin by painting a picture of her hand. Now, you can start anywhere on the canvas. We're going to start with her hand. We're going to start painting her hand. The text says some things about her hand. That's why. Verse 13 says, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Verse 19 says, she stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. These two verses says that she works with her hands. She makes clothes for her husband and children and clothes to sell. Verse 20 says, she extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She shows compassion with her hand, a stretched out open hand to the poor and the needy. What does this hand look like if I were to begin to paint it? Well, this is point number one if you're taking points. There's a ring on that hand. If I was to paint her hand, I would put a wedding ring on that hand. To be a godly mother, you must first be a wife. You must be married. There needs to be a ring on that hand. To have the heart of a man as your own, he must be your husband. If you're a Christian, to be a godly wife and mother, you must first marry a godly man. 1 Corinthians 7:39 says that you are to marry only in the Lord. If you're a Christian, you are to marry only in the Lord. This is another believer in Jesus Christ. This is God's design. This is called monogamy, not a popular term these days. This is a one man joined to one woman for life. That's a relationship God will bless. Notice verse 11 and 12. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil. How long? All the days of her life. All the days of her life. I've had people ask me, how do I find a godly spouse? My answer is, don't worry about finding a godly spouse. You just live a godly life, so when God sends a godly spouse by, they'll be able to recognize you. Because a godly spouse is looking for a godly woman or man. So don't be looking for one. You just live godly, so when God sends one by, they'll say, oh, there's a godly man, there's a godly woman. There you go. That's what you do. Because Proverbs 19:14 says, a prudent or wise wife is from the Lord. A spouse is a gift from the Lord. The Lord puts that together, what God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. The Lord will bless your godly life by sending you a godly spouse. That's the answer. And when he does, Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent or virtuous wife is the crown of her husband. If Lemuel was a king, and he was, then she would be his queen. And the real crown would be his wife, and not the crown sitting on his head. What is being painted here is a one-man woman. A one-man woman. This speaks of her single devotion. The ring on her hand shows everyone looking at it, I am married and I am devoted to my husband. The heart of my husband trusts me, verse 11 says. And he knows in his heart of hearts, I am sincerely in love. She's sincerely in love with me, and I know it. A one-man woman that is married, that displays her devotion to her husband, tells everyone, I love my husband and I'm devoted to him, and he knows it. This is a sincere love. This is a sincere love. Husband and wife, mothers and fathers, are what make up the home. That's what makes up families. And families make up the church, right? Families make up the church. Without families, guess what? You conveniently destroy the church. And if I were Satan, and I was trying to destroy the church, you know what I'd try to do? I would try to destroy the family. I would try to destroy marriage. That's what I would try to do. That's why our ungodly society is just trying to destroy the home. They're trying to destroy families. They're trying to destroy marriages. Why? Because really, if you can do that, you can destroy the church. Or they try to promote marriage that can't even have a family or produce a family. You can figure that one out, right? To be godly, to be a godly mother, there is a ring on her hand to start with. Now, if we continue to paint, we're going to have to paint the arm that is attached to this hand now. Like, continue painting. This would be point number two. Point number two is, not only is there a ring on her hand, but there is muscle in her arms. There is muscle in her arms. Look at verse 17. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She got a little cut in her arm, a little muscle in her arms. Rocking that baby, doing this, doing that. That puts muscle in that arms. She works with her arms. Her arms are tireless. She's a hard worker. And many women can say amen to that because they know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah, you're right, Pastor. That's right. There is physical strength in her arms. She's got muscle, meaning she's not lazy. She's not lazy. Verse 27b says, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy, but uses her time wisely, investing in work, a lot of hard work. Man, don't think that cleaning and cooking and raising children is easy work, because it is not. Matter of fact, I don't even think we're cut out to do that. I don't think we can even do it if we try. Only the women are capable of doing something like that. It takes a lot of energy and strength. This speaks of her dedication. She is dedicated to her family and does whatever is best for them first, and disregard many times for her own self. That's what a dedicated godly mother is. She's dedicated. She works hard. She's got strength in her arms. This is sacrificial love. This is sacrificial love. She would gladly spend and be spent for her family. Notice verse 13b. And works with her hands in delight. If you noticed, she's not just a homemaker. She's an entrepreneur. Motivation is the key. Her sacrificial love and dedication are the muscles seen in her arm. Well, on top of this arm of strength made strong by sacrificial love and dedication is now her face. What does she look like? As we consider this text, we would have to paint, and that would be point number three. Point number three is there's a smile on her face. There's a smile on her face. Look at verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. There you go. There's a smile on her face. And it says she smiles at the future because she is confident of unexpected days ahead. She has a ring on her hand because of her sincere love and devotion to her husband, and because of her sacrificial love and dedication to her family. She knows that she is under the umbrella of God's blessing. She knows that. Because of her sincere love to her and devotion to her husband, and because of her sacrificial love and dedication to her family, she knows that she's under the umbrella of God's blessing. And her husband and her children are sanctified because of her. In other words, all the blessings that God pours out on her roll off onto her husband and her children. As God blesses this godly mother, guess who benefits? Her husband and her children. And she smiles. A godly mother brings blessing and favor of the Lord in days to come, and she knows it and smiles. Because obedience always brings blessing. And a godly woman who is obedient smiles because she knows obedience always brings blessing. Because living a godly life will always bring a smile on God's face. And when she knows that God is smiling at her, she can smile. Verse 12 says, she does her husband good and not evil. She does her husband good and not evil. Let me tell you something. Men, you can relate to this. One thing that does a man's heart good is when his wife smiles at him. It changes everything. Just a smile from your wife just lights you up and changes everything. When things seem to be trying and difficult and the future seems to be uncertain and you've had a hard day, or it doesn't matter what, you walk in and your wife smiles at you, it just changes everything. The whole countenance of the home is a happy home as long as my wife is smiling. You know the old saying, if mama's not happy, nobody's happy. And if she's smiling, everybody's happy. She smiles and that smile assures him everything is going to be okay. Whatever the circumstance, as long as my wife is happy and smiling, her husband says, it does me good. It says it does him good, not evil, right? Verse 21 says, she's not afraid of hard times. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She has prepared for them. This speaks of her faith. She works and works. She's devoted and dedicated. She plans as if everything depends upon her, but she prays as if everything depends upon the Lord, because it does. This is a spirit-filled love. This is a spirit-filled love. A love for the Lord who is in control. We say that we believe in the sovereignty of God, but what about when God does whatever he wants to do in your life? That's when we see the smile of faith. And those who truly believe in the sovereignty of God out of love for him. Doesn't matter what the future holds. He's still sitting on the throne. I'm still living an obedient life and he's still blessing my life. I'm in the umbrella of his protection and I'm smiling. And everybody benefits from that, especially the husband. Because she believes in a sovereign God. Well, let's paint some more on this portrait of this godly mother. As we move on to point number 4 on this canvas, let's just say, there's color in her clothing. There's color in her clothing. Let's say purple linen, because that's what the text says. Look at verse 22. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. It says in this text that she makes up the way she's going to dress. That's what it says there. She makes coverings for herself. She makes up the way she's going to dress. It doesn't matter what everyone else is wearing. She doesn't run out and buy the latest worldly fad and fashion clothing. No, she makes her own way that she's going to dress. Doesn't matter what the world's doing. Doesn't matter if this is a new style, that's a new style, or this is what they're wearing, that's what they're wearing. No, she makes up her own clothing. Fine linen is not slinky silk. Fine linen is cotton linen, and she colors this cotton linen with purple, which speaks of royalty and nobility. In our modern day language, we would call that class. This woman has some class. She makes up the way she dresses with some class, with a royalty and nobility. Verse 25, Hay says, strength and dignity are her clothing. Strength and dignity are her clothing, it says. She dresses with a color and a quality of honor and respect. She doesn't dress immodestly. She dresses appropriately, modestly, and with discretion. And she doesn't overdo it. She doesn't wear revealing and scantily clothing, worldly and ungodly clothing. She doesn't dress like that. This speaks of her decency. She would never wear clothing that is disrespectful or disgraceful. Her dress would be that which reflects her godly character. That's how she would dress. That would reflect her godly character. This is a self-conscious love. A self-conscious love. She would never wear anything that would violate her conscience or her Lord. She would color her clothing in a way that honors her husband and her Savior Jesus Christ. She would think to herself in her conscience, would my Lord be pleased with the way I'm dressed? Would my husband approve? This is a self-conscious love. Well, let's paint some more on her face. What about her eyes? What about her eyes? This is point number 5. There is brightness in her eyes. There is brightness in her eyes. Look at verse 13. It says, she looks for wool and flax. She looks for that which is needful for her family with her eyes. She's looking with her eyes for that which is needful for her family. She has a keen eye for deals. Her eyes have a certain brightness about them. Why? Because there's discernment in her look. There's discernment in her look. Verse 16 says, she considers a field and buys it. This is discernment. She goes, she looks, she considers the purchase. She's a good steward of the family's finances. Verse 18 says, she senses that her gain is good. She looks at her profit from her investment and perceives and judges rightly. Verse 27 says, she looks well to the ways of her household. She's a skilled manager of the home. She's a skilled manager of the home. She can discern what is ungodly and what will not be blessed. She can see right through people, and you know it when she looks into your eyes. This is a discerning woman. Some people, they just look at you, they look right through you. They got you without you even saying a word. This is this woman. This is a sober love. She is sober. Her mind is not clouded. Her eyes are not diluted with too much drinking. She's not a drinking. There's too much at stake. She's alert. She's bright-eyed. You can paint white in this woman's eyes. Her love is a sobering, discerning kind. And you know it when she looks at you. Well, we're almost done with our canvas. What about her mouth? What about her mouth? This would be point number 6. There is a softness in her lips. There is a softness in her lips. To paint her lips, you have to pull out a nice soft paintbrush. Notice verse 26. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. It's a soft brush. When she opens her mouth to speak, out comes concern and kindness for others. There's a certain softness here. Her soft answer turns away wrath, the Bible says. Her teaching is tender and considerate, and she ministers grace to the hearers. That's what she does. It's like the Titus 2 woman. It says, older women, likewise, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. That's this woman. She has some wisdom from above that she's trying to impart to her children and to her husband and to her friends. This speaks of her selfless love. She will speak for the Lord even if people don't like it. She'll speak for the Lord even if people don't like it. Loving kindness is full of wisdom. This kindness in her voice reveals the source of her wisdom. It's the wisdom from above that we know very well, right? The wisdom from above that is first pure. The wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, and without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. This is the kind of love mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:6. It says that love does not rejoice in iniquity, but only rejoices in the truth. In other words, she can't be happy when unrighteousness is found in her family. She can't be happy with that. And then what happens? Out comes instruction found in the truth of God's word. Because she only rejoices in truth. She doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. She doesn't rejoice in sin. She doesn't rejoice when her children or her husband are not living godly. And so what comes out of her mouth? Instruction. Loving instruction. Soft instruction from God's word. In kindness and concern, full of mercy, comes correction, instruction, reproof for training in righteousness, so that they will not bring shame and God's chastisement in their life. All she wants is her husband and her children to be blessed. Everything she teaches is so God will bless their lives. This is soft lips. Well, one more. She has a ring on her hand. She has muscle in her arms. She has a smile on her face. She has color in her clothing. She has brightness in her eyes. She has softness in her lips. And point number 7, the last point. This one is hard to paint. Actually, there's no one that can paint this one except for the Lord. When he takes the paintbrush to her life and paints something beautiful. This is point number 7. This is the Lord in her heart. The Lord in her heart. Notice verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Here, where nobody can see, is the devotion, the dedication, the decency, the faith, the discernment, her discipline and conviction that paints her portrait. It all comes from within. It all comes from the Lord. Where does this sincere, sacrificial, selfless love come from? This self-conscious, sober love. What is the source? The source is from within. This is the Lord in her heart. It comes from her sovereign Lord. It is like the love of God that has been shed abroad in her heart, the Bible says. It comes from within. Her state of mind, in which her attitudes, her will, her feelings, her deeds, and goals are exchanged for God's. They're exchanged for God's. This speaks of her spiritual maturity. Her spiritual maturity. It's like Psalms 42:1. As a deer panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. That's the heart of this woman. There is a reverential awe, admiring, submissive fear that her heart is founded upon. That's this woman. This is what 1 Peter 3:4 is referring to when it's talking about godly mothers. It says, it's not the outward appearance, but it's the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. You know what the Lord looks at? Looks upon the heart. This is a submissive love to her Lord. The woman who fears the Lord, the Bible says, shall be praised. Shall be praised. And the Lord will make sure of it. The Lord will make sure that she is praised. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, he praises her. The Lord makes sure that she receives her praise. For the woman who fears the Lord. Her life will be praised not only at home, but publicly in the gates. Look at verse 31. Give her the portion of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. She will be praised, it says, by her children. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. But she will be praised by her husband. That's what he will say. This is what he'll say. Verse 29. Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. You excel them all. When I read this proverb and I paint this portrait, immediately the mother of my children and my wife Kathy come to my mind. I'm sure that many of you rise up and call your mothers blessed. I'm sure that many of you praise your wife for her selfless love and sacrifice as she ministers to you and your children. But I just want to thank God for my wife, Kathy, who has mothered my children just like I've read to you here this morning. This is not in the gates, but it is a church. This is not private. It is public. The Lord will make sure that the woman who fears the Lord shall be praised by her husband. And this is what I want to say to Kathy. Many have done nobly, but honey, you excel them all. You are worth more than anything this material world could offer. You are truly a gift from above. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for giving us this portrait of a godly wife and mother. And I thank you, Lord, that I've experienced that in my life. I've seen that lived out, fleshed out. And I am overwhelmed of the work of grace that you do in women. And what a blessing they are to us. What a blessing they are to the church. I pray you continue to raise up godly women in this church that will be a blessing to this church. And help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much for being with us this morning and blessing our time. I pray that you have been pleased. I pray that your word has been honored, your Son has been glorified, and you have been pleased in all that's been done this morning as we honor our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you bless us the rest of this day and these godly mothers in Jesus' holy name. Amen.